want to continue our third Wednesdays of the month. We had said that for prayer and prayer in the sense of teaching on prayer, because prayer is one of the key things as Christians. Because if God says that we should come and we ask, that we should come to Him, He says, come to me, all you who labor, and you get ready. He says, come and ask that you might receive, and that you receive, your joy will be full. Praise the Lord. So knowing prayer, understanding prayer, and praying is one of the key things a Christian should be doing. So we dedicate this Wednesday to teaching on prayer, and then take some time at the end of it to pray. It's important that we understand. I want us to look again on some key issues with prayer, things that we need to understand about prayer so that we pray properly and be able to get results as we pray. Amen? I want to just look at the book of Luke, chapter 11, verse 1. Luke 11, they say, once Jesus was in a certain place praying, Jesus himself, our Lord, he himself was also what? Praying. And as he finished, one of his disciples came to him and said, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John did what? Taught his disciples. So there is a teaching on how to pray. Praise the Lord. So the people that were around Jesus, they saw him praying and they understood. They just didn't go jump and begin to pray or just watch how he does it and do it. They went, they say, teach us how it is done, because we see you do it. They said, and that John also taught his disciples, so teach us how it is done. So they just didn't go copy what John had taught his disciples. Praise the Lord. They didn't just go copy. They didn't just say, this is how John's apostles do it. They came to their own master, they saw him pray, they say, you now do what? Teach us how to pray as your disciples, so we can pray like you, so we can follow you as we follow you, so we can pray like you, because we have seen that Peter first began to declare that, we have seen that you have the word of life. You have the word that gives life. So because you have the right word, we also want you to do what? To teach us how to pray. Praise the Lord. So James chapter 4 verse 3, it says, you do ask God for them and yet fail to receive, because you ask with what? With wrong purpose and evil, selfish motive. The key word, motive. We're going to look. He said, because you ask, some other translations say, you ask with a wrong motive. Praise the Lord. He said, your attention is when you get what you desire to spend it in what? In sensual pleasures. Praise the Lord. Now that word, you see, whenever we hear sensual, it's not necessarily evil. Praise the Lord. All it is saying is that it is born of the senses. It's physical, it's carnal. Praise the Lord. He says the reason why when we pray, we don't receive is because our motives are very carnal. The reasons for our prayers are very what? They're carnal, they're sensual. Praise the Lord. So why should you receive from God? Why are you coming to receive from God? Why are you praying? Why are we praying? Because you know, praying again is to receive from God's resources. And God is a spirit. And he says that, look, but the thing is that when you come to ask me things, your motive is all sensual, physical, me, solve this, solve this. He says, none of it has anything to do with my kingdom. Praise the Lord. So motive to prayer is very critical. My senior pastor was telling this story from Nigeria, and he said it's a real story that happened. He says a member of their church, one of the churches they planted, was a guy who works in a bank, and I guess a top guy in the bank. He says, so he's coming home one day from 10th Mainland Bridge, and then armed robbers started chasing him at gunpoint. So he said, so this is the guy came back and was giving this testimony. So he started shouting in his car, saying, Lord, help me, Lord, help me. He said he heard almost like audience from inside. He says, why should I help you? What value? Should I help you so you can spend more time to go make money? He said, why should I help you? What value are you to my kingdom? All that help that I've been helping you, how has it valued anybody? He says, the guy, he started shouting. He says, say, Lord, just help me this one time. Just help me this one time. I'm not going. And by God's grace, they didn't kill him.
They didn't kill him, and they let him go. And then he came back to church. He says his whole dedication and commitment changed. He said before every morning, he's the first one that's sitting there. Evangelist, he said that first month, they were calming him down. Praise the Lord. So, you know, and then he also told us this story because, you know, if you have been around Christians or if you have been about ministry for a long time, you see a lot of things. And I know this pastor because he introduced me to him finally. He's a very popular pastor in Nigeria, but he's a friend of me. He came to visit once and stayed with us. And he too now confirmed that story to me. So he said, I went to preach in London. He said, I went to preach in London, one of the big churches in London. And he says that the power of God was just incredible at my preaching. He says, so when I finished, before I left for Nigeria, he says, gifts. He said, my honorarium was so much pounds. He said, people from the church, they're coming to me, they say, man, pastor, that word you spoke changed my life. He said, they're giving me money, they give me money. He said, so when I came back, he said, I began to fast. And I said, Lord, I need anointing. He said, and then, he says, when I was praying and praying and praying, he says, then, why do you need this? He said, Lord. He confirmed it to me. Yes, you went to London. And the power was a lot. You got a lot of pounds. You needed more so you can preach again. They say, yes. He said, that's why you're not going to get it. And walk. He said, if you were praying, saying, Lord, the life of people were touched. And then you're going like, you're looking at people like, say that I need to be used of you. Say a bit different. He says, but the motive, you're saying it. They say, when he asked him in his heart, he said he agreed in his heart. Hey, that the kind of response he got, the kind of honor that he had, he wanted it more. So when he goes and do it again, he will get what? He get more honor. So motives are very important. He said, why are you praying? He said, the reason why you don't get it. He said, for sensual things. For sensual reasons. He said, we fail to receive because of that. So a key thing we need to know then when we come to prayer, and what is important, another key thing to know as we come to prayer, and as you're praying, is the need for patience and perseverance. Praise the Lord. You know, this is my brother Tunde, with mine and my person that has been very, very dear to me for a long time, lives in Nigeria, and we met over 10 years ago, and our lives clicked. And you know, every year, every other year, he enters the plane to come to my house. He said, I just want to come and sit with you. It's a humbling thing. You know, he said, so he's visiting, he came again. Then today, me and him were talking, and he's doing, he's an arts, he owns an arts gallery, and he's also doing his PhD in criminology. So I said to him, so how long does this PhD take to finish? He says it's 3 years. I said, you're very smart. But undergraduate, sorry, my dear, he got first class. So he's an intelligent guy. I didn't get first class, so I respect it. But anyway, so he got first class. So he's an intelligent guy. So I said to him, you're a bright guy, he says. I said, why can't the PhD just take you 6 months? He said, pastor, impossible. I said, why is it impossible now? He said, there's a process. He said, no matter if I come and say everything, say just they can't happen. He said, the best that can happen, maybe 2.5 years, but he said, that is rare. I said, so what he means is that to give you this PhD, there is a process and there is a time. He says, yes. And I said, so the first thing you did when you went to go register for this PhD is that you decided that you need patience of 3 years. I said, yes. See, prayer, same thing I show you in the Word of God. When you come to God, because He is God, you don't push him around. Praise the Lord. You understand. So when you come to prayer, it must be a prayer. Because God says that if we ask, we receive. There's no question about it. So he has already told you that I do it, I give you. But because he's the head, he's above, you receive from me. When we come, prayer needs perseverance and what? And patience. Let's look at the book of 2 John chapter 8. 2 John verse 8 and 9. Chapter 2 John has only one chapter. Obi, I almost threw you off, right? You started looking up for chapter 8. Praise the Lord. It says, do what? Look to yourselves. Take care that you may not lose or throw away or destroy all that we and you have what? Labored for. But that you may preserve until you win and receive back a perfect reward. So you must persevere. Say, look to it that you don't start running and don't just throw away and give up. That you persevere to win and receive back a perfect reward. Verse 9. Anyone who runs ahead of God. Anyone who does what? Runs ahead of God. You're praying to God. It's God that gives you. You don't sit in and fall. You don't want to watch God. See where he's going. What is he going to do? You are impatient. You run ahead of God. He says, anyone who runs ahead of God and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ, who is not content with what he has been taught. What Christ has said, have persevere. Wait, listen to me. If that's not enough, you want to run ahead, you say, this thing is too simple. So he said, by the disciples of Jesus, you've been here. He said, it's too simple. I have to go try and do something else. I have to go do 40 days. I have to go do 70 days. I have to go to the mountain. You just begin to run ahead of God. Just that's what I have told you, that believe and trust that he has healed you and stand firm in what you have believed. You say, no, more has to be done. He said, who is not content with what he has been taught does not have God, but he who continues to live in the doctrine and the teaching of Christ does have what? He have God. He has both the Father and what? And the Son. So perseverance is very important. The third thing is that we should have a desire. You see, there are some times that I use the example again with him. Now with that PhD, I'm a developer. If you're building, what you do sometimes, you do rendering to begin to see what you want to build. And even when you want to go present it to a bank, you want to go present it, anybody go, they say, show us what it's going to what look like. So somebody needs to see what they are working towards. And they need to believe what they are working towards. And they need to hold fast to what they are working towards. Praise the Lord. If you don't have any focus, if you don't have any desire, and if your desire is not strong, that is why desire is powerful, that somebody can need, it's like you can be panting for water. The desire for it is so strong that you go to any extent to get it. Praise the Lord. Also, when we have need and we come to God, we must have a desire for what we're asking. Have you ever gone to talk to somebody and you turn to him and say, you're not serious? Why did he conclude that you're not serious? You're asking him for something, but your actions is not reflecting that you need that thing. Praise the Lord. Look at it. So, and since we have desires, the desire must be that there must be a scriptural foundation. Because you know, it says the desire of the righteous will not be cut short, right? It just didn't say that desires will not be cut short. It qualified that there is a desire of the what? The righteous. And the righteous is people who are in right standing with God. And right standing means things that God has approved. Praise the Lord. So the desire, it's out of the righteous. So now your desire in prayer must be what? Must have a scriptural foundation. It must be based on what God has spoken and what God has said. I agree to it and it's what I want to do. Praise the Lord. And look at it, Amos chapter 3, verse 7. It says, surely the Lord God will do nothing. Amos chapter 3, verse 7. Surely the Lord God will do nothing without revealing his secrets to what? To his servants, what? The prophet. So there is nothing that God has promised to do that the word of God does not cover. That he has not revealed and says, look, this is my plan for you. This is what I want you to do. That is why, so you must have scriptural base. So if you go to the word of God and look at it, you will find that God has revealed. Do you know that there's nothing that God does that he does not reveal? You know, before Jesus Christ arrived, he came and revealed. Before he's going to give Abraham, make him the father of many nations, he came and did what? He revealed. God is not secretive. God does not keep secrets. Secrets is demonic. I'm telling you, if you're a very secretive person, everything you're hiding, be careful. It's very soon you see the demons take out, most times. Now, when I say secret, I don't mean that if you have your personal thing, you come where everybody is and you're blabbing your mouth. That's not what I mean. But that you're making effort to just hide things. It's not godly. God doesn't hide things. Because the things he does are good. That's why I say the people who do evil, they do it at what? They want to hide it. Nobody does it. That is why if you bless people and stuff, your when you come in there, you're working for it because you want everybody to know that you did that. But if you have gone and stolen somebody something, when you come, you're hiding. So God reveals what he wants to do. And all through his word, he revealed it. Before Moses, before he wanted to take the children of Israel out, he said, go tell them, I want to take them out. He reveals everything he wants to do. So if he's healing, he has revealed to you. His love for you, he has revealed everything that God does. He reveals it. So it's important that in prayer, that you go search what God says about what that your desire is. Like now, for example, if somebody shows over here and says his desire is my wife, can't you see that he's in trouble? Because there's no way. Praise the Lord. It just won't work. So if he goes and be praying and says, but the Lord show it to him in a dream, he has to understand that demons are showing him dreams. Praise the Lord. So it has to be something that is scriptural. It has to be something that's scriptural. And it's not hard to find it because God has revealed his plans. So now it becomes that Christians shouldn't be lazy, should not be able to go to the word of God, or just sit down and be taught and be directed to where the word of God is so he can look for what he's looking. That's why sometimes you can have a brother, or you can come to your pastor and say, look, I have this challenge, I'm praying in this direction. Is there, I've been searching. Can you find any scripture for me to help me? And I'll show you how the Bible goes. Because the thing is that, without that, you see, faith has to be anchored on something. If you anchor faith on you, it won't stand. So it's only the word of God, trusted yesterday, today, and forever. If you anchor it in it, and you see how people in the old anchored all their things in it, if you anchor it, you get the result. Because God has said it, and God says that he honors his word above what? Above his name. If God has said something, he will do it. So if you know that thing God has said, and you're praying, that's what you're getting your prayer, you'll be relaxed because that's what God has said. Praise the Lord. So let's look at an example. I'll give you two examples of some people in the Bible that prayed along this line. In 1 Chronicles chapter 17, verse 16 to 18. And this is David, the prophet and the king of God. Then King David went in and sat before the Lord and prayed. Who am I now? This prayer is after the prophet Nathan had come to him and declared to him what God has said that he's going to do about it. So now he goes to pray. Now watch his prayer and his desire and things he's talking about. So then King David went in and sat before the Lord and prayed. Who am I, O Lord God? And what is my family that you have brought me what? This far. Verse 17. And now, O God, in addition to everything else, you speak. You, God, did what? Speak of giving your servant a what? A lasting destiny. It's you, God, that has spoken it. So I've come to pray to confirm what you have said. Not just a desire that I want to have a dynasty. After I finish ruling, my children should rule. My other children. No. God, please, let them rule. Father, you say they're going to rule. No. He says, you have spoken. I've come to pray. You have spoken that giving your servant, you give him a lasting destiny. You spoke as though I was someone very great, O Lord. Now he begins to say, who am I? Look at verse 18. What more can I say to you about the way you have honored me? You know what your servant is what? Really like. See, God knows you. So God's words about what he's going to do has nothing to do with you. Because he knows that you're weak. He knows that you have not earned healing. He knows that you have not earned protection. He really knows you. But he has already spoke that anyone that put his trust in me, I'll heal him. He said, look, come to me and say, Father, thank you. This thing that you said you're going to do. Who am I? You really know me. You know that I love you. You know that I'm going around killing people. You know my shortcomings. But you have spoken this word. So now I'm coming, not looking at myself. But my prayer now and my anchor of my prayer is on what you have said. Now, Chronicles chapter 17, 23 to 27. Now look at the continuation of this prayer because I didn't want to take too much time. And now, O Lord, I am your servant. As you have what? As you have promised. So the burden is not on me. The burden is who? On God. It is your word. It is your promise. You said this about my children. You say we are going to, the children you give me are for signs and for wonders. You said that the children that you have given me, that they are a good gift from God. That good gift, they bring it, you make it rich, it never brings sorrow. Father, Lord God, this sorrow is not from you. So Lord Heavenly Father, I'm coming to you now. Look at this child again. So you takes you out of anxiety. And then your prayer, you're telling God, you're coming before God about what he has said he would do for you. Praise the Lord. So he says, and now, Lord, I am your servant. Do as you have promised concerning me and my family. May it be a promise that does what? Because he says, I'll set your dynasty that will do what? He said, let it be a promise that lasts forever. He begins to repeat God's word. Go to the next verse. See how he begins now to just repeat God's word. And may your name be established. He said, this is what you said. He said, you said this. And may your name be established and honored forever, so that everyone will say, the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of Israel is Israel's God. And may the house of your servant David continue to be what? Before you forever. Verse 25. Oh my God, I have been bold enough to pray to you because I have been bold enough to pray because you revealed to me what you wanted to what? Do. You see the boldness that comes in prayer? Because he says if you ask anything according to his will, he does what? So if it is his will, that's the boldness. He says, pray to you because you have revealed to your servant that you will build a house for him, a dynasty of kings. Verse 26. For you are God, O Lord, and you have promised these good things to your servant. Verse 27. And now it has pleased you to bless the house of your servant so that it will continue forever before you. For when you grant a blessing, O Lord, it is what? Because then he begins to put his guarantee. He says, look, it is you have said it. This is what you have said. This is what you have said. And in the life of David, it happened. Even when his children began to act up, he says, because of that promise I made, even if he said, I'm going to divide the kingdom, but I've always going to leave what? A line for him. And he kept his word. So the children came, they will worship Baal, they will do this, he will chastise them, but he never took the king. He never not have a person sitting in the throne of David. God keeps his word. Praise the Lord. Let's look at another prayer in the New Testament. Acts chapter 4. Verse 23-31. Now, these are when Peter and John were preaching the word of God. And they are finished sharing the word of God. They came out and then they were arrested and being flogged and being beaten. Being flogged and being beaten. And after they released them, look at, they went back to God to pray. Remember when we started before, it says that when we pray, you don't receive because it's all for what? For sensual pleasure. It's just for physical, for your own gain. It has nothing to do with what blesses God. It has nothing to do with what God has said. 23, he said, as soon as they were freed, Peter and John returned to other believers and told them what the leading priests and elders had said. Verse 24. When they heard the report, all the believers did what? They lifted their voice together in prayer to God. They began to say, look at what they say. O sovereign Lord, creator of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them. Verse 25. You spoke. You see that again? They begin to go back to what God has already what? Spoken about this issue. I don't care what it is that you're going through. That's what God has spoken about it. Do you know it? So what is your prayer? When you go to God, where's your anchor? What are you saying? How do you know God has done it? I keep telling you, I went to visit my daughter again in prison. I saw this super professor. And he began to talk. He's talking about prayer and everything. And so I got excited. I said, finally. I thought they said that the super professors in prison don't go to church. So when I finished, very gladly, I went to just tell him, a fellow Christian. Then he says, no. But he does not go to church. I said, I bet you say you pray. He said, yeah, he just pray. I said, I bet who are you praying to? He said, he tosses it out there. This guy is a super physics PhD guy, very smart guy. I said, you toss it out there. I said, man, I said, you're a smart guy. I said, yeah, that's it. I said, how can you just toss it out? He said, well, he toss it out there, you know, who takes it? He just, yeah, he just wonders who is hearing it, but he thinks someone is hearing it, but he tosses it out there. And he has super, I said, man, these people are teaching my children. You know, so, but you see, so he's praying and then he's wondering. So, but he said, you spoke. You see, don't understand prayer. So now you don't be tossing prayer out there. A lot of Christians just toss it out there. You know, a lot of people finish praying and if they see the answer, they won't know. It's amazing. They don't know that that's what they... So he says, you spoke long ago by the Holy Spirit through our ancestor David, your servant, saying, why were the nations so angry? Why did they waste their time with futile plans? Verse 26. The kings of the earth prepared for battle. The rulers gathered together against the Lord and against his Messiah. Verse 27. In fact, this has happened here in this very city. It says, that thing that you said about, he said, we have gone now to preach the gospel. They have bound us and they are flogging us. That thing you said will happen, here now it's happening. Now look at it. For Herod, Antipas, Pontius Pilate, the governor, the Gentiles and the people of Israel were all united against Jesus, your holy servant, whom you anointed. Verse 28. But everything they did was determined beforehand according to what? That's why I look at sometimes, if you know God's plan, there are some things that will be happening. You'll be agitated. And if you're ignorant, you shout and pray about everything. There's some things you see happening because of your knowledge of what God has said. Because you know the word of God, you know what that thing begins to happen. You laugh, you say, ah, okay, is this what it is? It says, verse 29, and now, O Lord, hear their threats. They began to pray. And give us what? Your servants, great word, boldness in preaching your word. Now they begin to pray. In line, they say, Lord God, you said this will happen. You said this will happen. That thing that you said, why are they raging? That they are raging for future reasons. So he said, now they are beginning to rage. Father, give us the power. So it will be for a future reason that they are raging. He said, stretch out your hand with healing power. Because he knew now that all this thing that is happening, that the miracles that will begin to happen, it will shut them up. Then you know the proper prayer to pray. He said, now stretch forth your hand with healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant, what? Jesus. Verse 31. After this prayer, the meeting place shook and they were all what? God responded. God responded. And you see, this prayer was not just a sensual prayer. It was a prayer that just not beyond about me. It was about what God has said and how it's going to be a benefit for the work of God. And they began to pray. And he says, God, now release this. He said, then they preached the word of God with what now? With boldness. Praise the Lord. So when we come to pray, I wanted to give this background to us. So when we come to pray, we must be prepared. And being prepared is not that thing that people now go to churches where they'll be shouting on this. I mean, there's nothing wrong to shout. If you want to shout, that's fine. You're in the house of God. You have the right. I shout. You will see me, I shout. But then they say, get ready to pray. Get ready to... No, that's not what I'm talking about. Getting ready to pray is not a physical thing. Praise the Lord. No, that's not what it is. I'll keep to show you the word of God. But a person that's coming to pray because even with our jobs that we go to, even preparing, going to take an exam, do you just wander in there? Even job interview. You say you have this big job. All that night. Even some people go and buy a new suit. They want to present that really I want this thing. That really I qualify for it. Some people go and study the company they want to go look for a job in. So when they come, they want to ask, they say, the company is like this, it's like this. The people get impressed. So when you need to prepare. You need to know what God has said. We prepare for prayer. So the first thing we do as we come to prayer, we prepare. We have the desire of what we are praying for. You have to have a desire for what you are praying for. It can't just be, oh, okay. All right, let us pray about it. The Bible spoke in the book of James about, after it talked about Elijah, it says that the fervent prayer of a what? A righteous mind. It avails what? People miss that fervent. Yeah, fervent can be physical. I mean, I'm a physical prayer man myself. I mean, but you see, motive matters. So fervent prayer is not that you are moving like this. Move, you can move. But fervent prayer is that there's a desire and a quickening in your heart. There's a need. You go, Father, I want this thing to happen. I mean, your heart is burning. Your heart, and beyond even your prayer, your actions are showing how much you want that to happen. We need to have a desire in a place of prayer. But do you know that most time the greatest desire is in prayer is selfish? If you come now, we say, let us pray for this thing, or pray for this, or pray for this work over here. Everybody does, you know, well, Father, cause the church to work. Then if we say, then let us pray for our job to get more work. Hi! Now, there's nothing wrong for you praying for your way. But I'm just saying, sometimes that's why we pray amiss, we don't receive. So all you need to do, if we tweak the way we understand, we start to answer prayer, then you see that you just pray and you get an answer like this. It's amazing. Praise the Lord. So we must have it there. Must be clear and specific as to what you are asking and praying for. Specific. Listen, some people think that it's being humble. If you need $10, come to God and say, Lord, that's what I ask my kids. School fees, I come to and say, we need to pray. We have a bill this much. So, Father, we need this. I'm telling you why I need it. Say, we need this. If they kick these kids from school, it does not now say, you say that, you know, you say that who has put your trust in you will not be put to shame. If they kick them out, shame has come. We need $30 for this person. We need to. We be specific so I know what I'm praying for. I don't just come down, just be wandering around in a place of prayer. I've been saying, Lord, provide. Lord, provide. Because you know, a place of prayer is a place of knowledge. Praise the Lord. So we must be clear and specific on what we're coming. And know and pray according to the will and plan and purpose of God. So 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. So we must know and pray according to the will and plan and the purpose of God. I've said that. So verse 20 says, so we must understand this. For as many are the promises of God, they all find their yes in what? In Christ. So then, which means that if every purpose and every plan and everything that God has said, the yes is in Christ, you should come in the name of Christ. What he's saying that if you come in this name and trusting in this name, you can never walk away with no. So don't come there and be saying, I've paid my tithe. Don't come there and be saying that I went to church. Don't be doing that. Pay your tithe. It's mysteries of God. So do it. That's God has that. But don't come saying those things. People pray based on that. Do you know people think their answer, God's answered based on their fasting? They say this kind of one, 40 days will do it. And they doesn't do it, they do 60. You know people have died doing it. I fast, but I don't fast. I don't fast to answer for God to answer. I come for God to answer because everything, God says that it is yes in Christ. That's how I get my answer. I fast sometimes, sometimes I get too occupied. If I'm eating and going around, this my body is get too full. So I need to just weaken it. So that I lie down there and pray. So it doesn't mean that you start thinking, oh, you need to go carry this door. So he carried that door. So that way my spirit have ascendance, I begin to pray. That's why I fast. It's not for yes. So you understand that. Praise the Lord. So we find our yes in him. For this reason, we also utter the amen. Amen means that complete is finished. Amen means sure. He says, so we say amen. You know, when we pray and say amen, what we are saying is agree, it's done. That's what amen is. Amen is done. He says, so we utter the amen. So be it. See how Amplified put it. He says, amen is so be it. That is how it is. He said, to God, through him, in his person, and by his agency to the glory of God. The name of Jesus Christ. That's what ushers us in. That's what gives answers to prayer. Every promise of God was made to him. The answer is yes. He said the promise is to Abraham and to his seed. To his seed. So when we come to prayer, we should know this. Praise the Lord. So search the scripture. When you find it, meditate till you are in agreement with it. Another mistake we do in prayer is that we truly don't agree with what God is saying we'll be praying about it. And two people cannot work together unless they agree. Praise the Lord. So if there's a word that God has spoken, not that because you have found yourself in a jam, you start quoting it. We do that. If you find what God has said about something, if it is your healing, if it is your children, if it is your business, if it is your Christian work, if you're getting tired studying the word, if you're not getting revelation of the word of God, If you're having problem, humble yourself to learn. God says that he has given you a mixed spirit. You can go back to God. But you have to first agree that he has given you a mixed spirit. Agree with him. If you don't agree, you'll be praying that prayer. It won't work. Because the two of you are not agreeing, and it's his power that will be released. And how are you going to take it? You don't agree. So when any issue you are praying about and you find the scripture, meditate on the word of God. Eat it. It's like medicine. Eat it until it is just bombard. So as a matter of fact, if the messages that have been preached about that thing, just stop. Oh, this is the brother I was telling you people that he put his... He will give his testimony. He put the tape in his car and the tape got stuck it. Praise the Lord. Just let it. It's amazing. It's amazing. Until your spirit agrees that word is the truth. Because you see, if you don't agree that is the truth, you see, everything will be tested. And you have to understand that there is an enemy that his goal is that you don't get that thing. Because the Bible says that the enemy, he has come to steal, to kill, and to what? But I have come. So two people came. And everybody is trying to achieve their own. Make no mistake about it. That's why when Christians walk around, ignore the fact that there's enemy, there's a devil, there's demons that are trying to take things from them. But sometimes the way some people, there's extreme ends. The way some people also approach the whole thing, it's so physical, it's so ridiculous. But there's some people just completely ignore that it's not there. And they're paying the price. He's there. He's there. But he said, we resist him by the faith. Not resist him by shouting. He says, the faith. And the faith is the knowledge that we have. That's what we use and begin to resist him and say, you're not going to operate here. You're not going to walk here because of what we know. We don't resist the devil by shooting a machine gun. No. You can shoot all you want. He's going to do, if you don't know what he's doing, he's going to do what he wants to do. So, what I was saying, you see, it's in the person of Jesus Christ. So search the scripture. When you find it, meditate on it, have an agreement with it. Be sure and convinced that the word of God, the Bible, is the truth. Do you know people pick and choose the Bible? Christians, not non-Christians. I have a sister that came, she's come to talk, we're discussing with the family, the husband. I said, look, my beloved sister, this thing you're going through is what? It's hard. There's no question about it. It's hard. But look at what the word of God says. He says, it's because you are a nice man. My husband is not like you. I say, no, I'm not a nice man. I'm not a good man. Just follow the word of God. He say, oh, that is what is this thing that men over women? That is chauvinism. I say, no, that is the word of God, my sister. Do it that way. He said, but just do it that way. So we shouldn't pick and choose the scripture. Because what happens is that if you begin to pick and choose, very soon you begin to drop a lot. You begin to drop a lot. And then when maybe one of the ones you drop might be the one you need for that issue. You begin to battle to believe it. So it's the word of God. So if you don't understand it, now we go. That's the prayer we pray in the last prayer meeting. Lord, that open my eyes of what? Of understanding. I don't understand this thing. Lord, it's hard. God knows. He knows. He will begin to open your eyes. You'll be surprised how you begin to get revelation in that thing. Because God is not hoarding information. He's our Father. Is any of you hoarding things from your kids? Instead, you want to go borrow and give them. And God said we are evil. And we can give like that to our own children. What about him? So God is not holding information back. So we must make sure that we believe the word of God. We believe it. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. Above all, you must realize that no prophecy in Scripture ever came from the prophet's own understanding. Verse 21. Or from human initiative. No, those prophets were moved by what? They were moved by what? The Holy Spirit. And they spoke from God. So it's God's word. Let nobody fool you. It's God's word. Even if it does not match what you want to do at that time, just ask God to give you humble unity. Just help you. But don't go on saying that it is God's word. So we must understand and accept the fact that we are free to come in the presence of God. The other thing that is important, you must accept that fact. Actually, it's not a fact. Let me withdraw that. You must accept that truth. Do you guys know the difference between a fact and a truth? Facts change. You know the Dow, 3 days ago, the Dow plummeted 600 and something. That was a fact. This morning was up. The facts change. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, the truth. That's the key difference. His word doesn't change. What he was saying when you were sick is the same word he's saying when you're healed. The book of James says there's no shadow of what? Turning in him. When he says they think that's what he has said. So even though we are going through issues, if God has said something, stand on it. God, he's not going to change. He's not turning around. He says, so it's not human words. Understand the word. Let us understand the word of God in that way and make sure that we come freely and boldly because of our high priest, that is Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 11, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 to 16. Are you guys with me? Does anyone have any question? This is really important. I'm telling you, my sister, but this is really important because prayer is very important. It's through prayer we receive. And if one does not understand prayer, they can spend so much. A lot of Christians are frustrated in prayer. And a lot of people have coined up all these things and said that is how, that's what prayer is. But that's not true. If God helps me, by the grace of God, I'm going to teach on our Lord's Prayer. You see that our Lord's Prayer? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I will expand so much on it. You see what God was teaching us on how to pray in there. On that our Lord's Prayer. It is so rich and so deep. So some people are just don't understand. We sometimes in Christian don't understand prayer. And we're doing whatever it is that we call prayer, and we're not getting results. The place you have most unbelievers is in Christendom. Everybody says pray, but you want to see people who doubt God? If God will open our hearts, you will see how because there's so many prayers that is prayer failures. So even some people now, the unbelieving believer will become your friend. You become born again. You're all excited. He says, sister, you're getting too excited. You're going to learn. What kind of word is that? I've come to God that does everything. Now he's telling me I'm going to learn. So he's telling me, don't get excited. This thing doesn't work. In church, not out of church. It happens. It happened to me. I came to Christ. My ex said that somebody came with a big, he said, and then I was angry. And he was visiting me too. Ask my wife, I almost tell him that he would leave that night. If he was not from Nigeria, he would have left that night. So I don't want nobody poisoning me. Listen, fight for your heart, though. Don't let people poison your heart with nonsense talk. It is your life, it's not their life. When you are jammed in the corner and need to trust God and stand, they won't be there. So when somebody comes and be diluting your trust in your God. Don't laugh. Don't say, no, that's okay. No. It's poison. Be vehement. Tell him, don't talk like this again if you come to my house. If you do it again, please don't come. Let him go. Let him tell people why you told him not to come. Then that he came to tell you that God saw true. Then that you told him don't be coming anymore. Don't continue to be his friend and just be saying he's from our village. He's our friend. Now you know we have been friends for a long time. No, you have not been friends for a long time. He's killing me. We have not been no friends for a long time. So then, since we have what? A great high priest. My brothers and my sister, me and you, we have a great high priest. Do you ever sit some time? I mean, sometimes I sit and think about it. That we have privilege, incredible privilege, that we have access. Do you know something? Jesus says that the people to enter the kingdom of God, they have a heart like what? Like a child. Because their hearts has not been violated so much with so much junk. So if you have a little child now, if you tell him that you're going to buy a jet tomorrow, he'll start calling your face, my dad is going to buy a jet. I mean, even if all you have is $1, he won't be saying that you won't buy it. I remember about 8 or 9 years ago when we come back from church, we'll be driving by the Morristown Airport. I'll tell my children, I say, by next year, I'm going to pack my jet every day. And then Chucky, them are all excited. Then next year, they say, Dad, where's the jet now? But that day, I told them,
They knew that I was on a package jet over there.
We have a great high priest. And listen, he's just not a high priest. Look at what is special about our high priest. Who has what? He has entered heaven. That's the only person that has entered heaven. Apart from God, your high priest, my high priest, has entered where we're. People say the land is gold. There is no, it's all the floor is made of gold. When they talk about all those things, I say, all right, now your high priest has entered. Walk on gold now. Now you have somebody that's talking about gold. Don't see that. He has, if heaven is like gold, my mansion is like, no, my high priest has what? Entered. So my mansion can also be big now. Praise the Lord. My high priest have already entered. There will be no sickness. That's what we say, right? But my high priest has entered, so also they can be there. No sickness. Because my high priest is there. My high priest is there. Have you ever stopped that in prayer, when you come in prayer, be thinking about that? You see, high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us do what? He didn't just say, let us hold. You know there is holding, and you can just knock my hand out. It's holding firmly. As a matter of fact, if I'm holding firmly, you can even see my face. I'd be scared to come and remove my hand. Because praise the Lord. My face alone will show you that I mean business. And if you were somebody that your plan was to come and take over my hand, you say, I beg, make una, please leave him alone. Leave him alone. My brother, it's a joke, but I'm telling you because I want it to sink. I want to sink in prayer. If we believe and hold firmly like this, all things are possible to do. That's why it's possible. All things are possible. So if you want, that's why David, they told us all these great things. In the Old Testament, he said, even if I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear what? Because. So there can be valley. There can be mountain. So he came to the book of Hebrews, he said, I will never leave you. I will never what? Never. So you're walking. So yeah, so which means that even when you're in trouble, God is there. So you can have comfort, you can have hope to resist, to stand, because you have power with you. You're not alone. There's power available. Verse 15. This high priest of ours, everybody say, this high priest of ours. He does what? He understands our weaknesses. See, that is a unique high priest. That is key there for a human being. Because no human being is steady all the time. We come short in many things, including me and you. If anybody stands up and says he doesn't, he's lying to himself. Now, who else is perfect than somebody who knows that? So when you come, it's not for you to come and be a hypocrite. It's not for you to come and first do everything right. It's for you to come still with that boldness. Say, even though I have not done it all right, my high priest has entered heaven and he understands what? My weaknesses. Nobody else can stand for men like that. It can't happen. He knows our weaknesses. For he also did what? He faced off all the same testings we do, yet he did not what? He said he overcame everything. So he knows all the strategies, all the deceits. He knows all of it because he defeated him on every point of it. So he knows which way to tell you how to defeat. He knows which way to tell you how to win. Because he went through all of it, but he could not outmaneuver him. So he knows the way. So he knows the way. So when we come to prayer like that, so when you come, any issue you have, and you begin to pray, you begin to present it to God in the name of Jesus, you begin to have confidence. You say, Lord, this is, if you say, yes, I know, you know, you came through that road. I know, you know, how you are when your eye begins to wander. I'm a human being, I know you, but then, Lord, so it's almost a conversation. But then there's a confidence, like a child that comes to his mother. There's a confidence that mommy will give me something. You know, My kids sometimes on there. I've been begging, they say, why is it that you people leave me and be calling? There are certain things. If they're going to stay in school late, and I told them, don't stay in school, they enter the bus, and then they need somebody to pick them late in the night. You know, they don't send me that. They send text to mommy. Say, mommy, come and pick me. Mommy will never yell about mommy. Then, and they know immediately that mommy says he wants to get up to go. I'm not going to let my wife start that. I jump, I come to go pick. So they know all of that. That there's no no. Even when they've done anything else, they know that there's a special place in her heart for them. They know it. Me and you, my brother, we should know that there's a special place in Christ's heart for you and me. Know it in prayer. So that nobody will take advantage of you, tell you, give me this, let me go pray for you. Don't let anybody take advantage of you. I don't care how big, how small it is. Come to him. He will heal you. He will set you free. Only come boldly, believing in him, believing in what he has done for you, with a sincere heart, with a true desire, with a true motive. Tell the truth to yourself. Don't come to God to lie to him. Don't fool yourself. You know, sometimes when I'm asking for something, I begin to ask myself a question. I say, Christopher, why do you want this? Why are you doing this? Because the heart is very deceitful. I don't want to waste my time. When God has already said you come, you don't receive because your motives is so sensual. So sometimes I ask myself, why do you want to do this? Is this what people will say? So that way I can begin to judge my own self before I'm judged by the throne. So it's an important thing to come that way. So verse 16 now says, because of this, so let us now do what? Come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. That's why we can come bold. That's now you can come and be saying, Lord, I need it. Lord, I can't go anywhere else. And you're not saying it watching yourself. And because he's good, you're confident that you're walking out of there, that he has given it to you. He said, there we will, not we may. Praise the Lord. There, what will happen? We will receive what? His mercy. We'll receive according to what is due us. He says it's because of his mercy that you're not consumed. I say his mercy is new every morning. He said, there you receive his mercy. We will find grace to help us when we do what? We need it the most. If you're going to help me, is it when everything is okay for me that you help me? Are you going to help me when nothing is wrong with me? That's when I need it the most. So my sister, brother, I don't care whatever you need, especially when you need the most, the desire, but that's what, go there. Know that it's a high priest that is there, and he knows your weaknesses, and he's gracious, and he's merciful, and he will. So you'll be able to be happy. He says, ask that you might receive, so your joy will be what? Full. He wants our joy to be full. But do you think we'll go like that way? We'll never come that way. So we always come out of the presence of God with doubt. Maybe. Some people, if they want to start praying, they say, let us first confess all our sins. I say, all right, which one are we going to confess? Which one are we going to leave? If you want to take, they take you to the book of John. They say, if you come, you confess this. I say, no, that's not what it's saying in that scripture. And when I have time, I'll teach on that. That's not what he's saying at all. People are misquote. That's not what he's saying. So if I come and first tell you how bad I am, then start crying. Do you think that even if you dash me something, even by the time I finish wiping my eye, maybe I'll drop the thing there and leave. And then imagine if I finish crying, you give it to me. I want to walk around some arm robber. Not even the devil just go, whoa, I throw it down. I say, no, God wants it back. So they say, the Lord has done what? They say, Job said that. Say, Job's experienced the word of God. Is that how God does it? If God says he does not change, how does he give and take away? after he has told you that there is a thief. After I've come and told you that there is a thief, that he's here to steal, but I'm here to make sure that you keep what you have. Then if I give you something, if he steals it, you say, I have given you and I've taken it away. So there's no thief now. So they become ignorant of the thief. So he keeps stealing and you are thanking God. He steals, you thank God. Say, hey, Lord has taken it. The thief is laughing. Say, hey, Lord has taken it. Let's go take some more. Until one day they take everything and you're thanking him. So we come boldly. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 to 20. Some of this teaching might be just changing your theology. But don't be angry yet. Go and think about it. Go and study the Bible and think about it. Don't get angry yet. And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly do what? Enter heaven's most holy place. Most holy place. Now, do you think that something that is not holy can go into a holy place? I'm asking you now, if we clean all this room and they say that in this place you have to come with clean shoes, do you think that if you take dirty shoes and come here, you enter? I'm asking now, would you enter? If you enter, then it means that your shoe is clean. Or somehow, by the time you came with your dirty shoe, somebody came and put his hand under your shoe and you're walking on his hand. That is clean. Because if it's not clean, you can't enter. So if you entered, you're clean. We can enter heaven's most holy place because of what? Yes. We can enter. You can enter. I can enter. I can go right into where God is. And I say, Daddy, this is where I find myself. Look at what is happening. Look at what is happening. Look at what is happening. And then when I talk, then because I know he loves me, because I know I'm talking to him, I can stay quiet and say, okay, let him respond. Do you know people talk and talk, they don't wait for it? Have you ever seen somebody say, come and see me, I need to talk to you? He comes, he sits down, before you open your mouth, he's going, quack, quack, quack. I say, ah, but I'm you, it's me that called you to talk to you, I've not said anything here. So when you talk, you wait. You wait now. I'm praying, I'm praying, I'm praying. What has God said? Wait, listen now. We can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. Verse 20. By his death, Jesus opened what? That word is important. New. Which means there was another road. Praise the Lord. Now, if I build a new highway for you with four lanes, and there was some road in Abeokute full of gravel and I opened a 18 new lane, the best car, if you're driving on it, it's like it. And I say, I have opened it. It is new. And when you're driving in it, there's life breeze. Would you want to go to that gravel road? Do you think if somebody has sense if they go to that gravel road? You should be sorry for that person. The person is driving there. You say, I'm trying to be holy. he says, but he's dead. He's dead. Jesus opened a new and living, giving way through the curtain into the what? The most holy place. So in his name, you can come through that new way, through that living way, which is through his blood, which is through his name. You know, people hear things like they say, oh, so you're saying people do everything. No, there's nobody that has associated himself with beautiful things, with good things, that begin to live rubbish. Let me tell you something. If you start eating good food, your palate get used to it. The food you were eating 6 years ago that was garbage that you're eating, if you go there, put it in the table, you eat it, you put it in your mouth, you pour it out. Nobody experiences good things and living and wallowing in nonsense. Nobody experiences the goodness of God and decide to go and be living in evil. So the grace does not teach people evil, it gives people good. So it is a warped thinking and a confused thinking that if people see the good way, that they will start living in sin. It's an evil mind that it says things like that. Praise the Lord. So we must be sure what our motive is. Search ourselves, answer the question,
and come boldly. Examine our own selves in a place of prayer. There's no place where you examine yourself like a place of prayer. It's a place you come. You tell yourself the truth. If I'm envious of you, that's why I'm praying that I come and say, Lord, help me. I'm envious of her. Do you know that many things that we do is really not what we want? But sometimes situations and flesh just push us to be doing it. Why do people do things and begin to cry? Do you think that's what they want to do? It's not what they want to do. But the person tells themselves the truth, say, Lord, help me. I don't want this thing. I want to listen to my wife. I don't want every time he tells me something. I want to listen. But Lord, every time I come, by the time he says two, I begin to talk like a madman. Help me. I'm praying. I'm telling myself the truth. Look at it. That's what the Bible says. You say, that's how you come to prayer. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 31 and 32. But if we will do what? Examine our own selves. We will not be what? Will not be judged by God in his way. Yet, when we are judged by the Lord, he said, even when we don't examine, we are judged by the Lord, we are being what? Disciplined, so that we will not be what? Condemned alone. God is so gracious. I mean, sometimes when you read the word of God, you begin, the love of God is incredible. Only God that you fall over, he knows that you have made mistakes. He makes another way. He makes another way. It's incredible. He says, judge yourself now. Make sure so you don't come, so you don't be messed up by God. He said, now, if you have refused again to judge your way. He said, now, if I begin to punish you, the reason is not so that I want to hurt you like the world. I want you so you can commit it. He said, that's my intention.